All right, you ready?
Yeah, come on.
Now don't get on here and start lying.
Lying? Who lying? We're going to stick to the script.
Marriage No Cap.
Back, guys.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you for joining us for another week.
Yeah.
This episode is going to be dedicated to the real story.
Oh, yeah.
The real story. No cap.
Yeah.
This is our fertility journey and kind of where we started and kind of where we are today as of February 2024.
Yeah.
So it's been a long one. It's been a long journey.
Yeah.
A lot of ups and downs, a lot of things that we didn't expect. And so I think we've gotten so many comments of like, oh, this has happened to me too. Me too. I'm like, man, like I wish people would realize and talk about it in a way where it's healthy, in a way where people can learn and live from it, because so many people, and I feel like that's happening in like multiple times, like anything you go through in your life, you're not going through it alone. Like it's nothing's new under the sun, and people can live vicariously through you, or they can understand through you, and they can basically like improve because of that. And I think that's one good thing about social media, because it makes the world a much smaller place, because people are sharing things all across the world. But then also it's like, it can be used negatively and can be used, you know, not like a tool.
Yeah, for sure.
But I feel like so much has sparked since we've announced our pregnancy and our journey, just a little bit, just a little snippet. And somebody's like, oh, this happened to me too. And me too. And you've gotten direct messages from people talking about like, oh, you're so brave and all this other stuff to talk about it. And I wish we lived in a world where people just built community around certain things and they felt free to talk about it.
And I understand why people don't, because it triggers you. And then sometimes that triggers emotions that you're not ready to face, or maybe you just didn't grieve the way that you wanted to, or maybe you didn't have somebody there for you while you were grieving, or you felt like you were going through the process by yourself, or you feel like it was your fault, or you feel like you were the only one. I got a lot of that when we had a miscarriage in 2017. Mm-hmm. And once I finally was like, okay, I'm ready to actually talk about it, because it took me a while. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm actually ready to talk about it, and sat down, did a YouTube video and explained my story and talked about what happened. I got so many messages on Instagram talking about how they just have never seen anybody talk about it like that.
Sure.
Or they didn't know that that happened to someone else also.
And I feel like you don't go through things or to brag about them or say, I got through this or I got through that, in a way where you're not vulnerable to the situation.
Yeah.
And you're not understanding of people going through something very similar and whatever else. And because we talk about this all the time, like famous people almost are, you're famous and people are going to be interested in your life, especially in today's world.
Yeah.
And so you kind of almost have a responsibility to
talk about the bad stuff too.
Right. Talk about the bad stuff. Exactly. Yeah. Like it's not everything is not peachy.
Yeah.
And like,
I mean, I understand people wanting to get on, I understand people wanting to get on social media and share like the happy things and the good things about their lives. Like, I totally understand that, because you want to keep your page positive and whatever else the case may be towards that perspective. Like, I totally get it, because for that reason, I'm like, I want to share good and happy things, because there's so much negativity over social media. Like, I want my page to be a positive place for people to be able to go and know that they can get refreshed and feel confident and all the things. But also, we have to stay relatable if you're, you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like you need to stay relatable. And my life is not always 100% perfect. And neither is Kim Kardashian's. Neither is Beyonce's or whoever else, all these celebrities. People just look at Taylor Swift and they're like, oh my God, nothing bad ever happens to her. No, she has really shitty days too. And she goes through things too. And even if she doesn't talk about those things, like, she's still going through it.
This is a perfect point. Like, we believe, like, you follow this podcast or follow us on social media, you know that we're Christians.
Mm-hmm.
But you just said shit.
Oh.
And it's like, oh my gosh, like, how can you say shit and you believe in Christ at the same time?
Yeah.
Like, that's real. Like, we are real people.
Because I didn't want to jump on this podcast and be like, oh, you know, blah, 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 and like be something that I wasn't. And that was the major thing. I'm like, if we're doing this podcast, I'm gonna be myself.
Right.
Like, I'm not getting on this podcast and pretending to, you know, not be who I actually really am.
People,
and God is still working on me.
Right. And that's the thing is it's not once you accept Christ or once you get to a certain point, you don't have to deal with anything. You don't have to battle or come up against anything. Following Christ is going to make your life more difficult.
Yeah.
And it's easier. It is. It's easier to be the sinner or the person that's not connected to Christ or do whatever.
Because you get decisions. To make up your own rules as you go with no consequences.
Absolutely. So it's really about the sacrifice that you make following Christ makes your life a lot harder. And people have that misconception of like, oh, once you got saved and Christians shouldn't have miscarriages or Christians shouldn't have all these dealing issues. You're going to have those issues more often now that you say that you're a Christian and you try to live this lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's not meant for the faint heart, and it's really tough at times.
Yeah.
And so, because there's times where in our journey where I was questioning God in a way where I was like, God, like, you know, we want to be parents. You know, we want this, we want that. We want, you know, to buy a house and celebrate and grow as a family. And it didn't happen for years.
Yeah.
And even when we, I'll put the disclaimer out there, because we had premarital sex.
Who did?
Me and you did.
Oh, I didn't.
We both did. I can attest. I can attest that we had
premarital. Oh, my God. Baby girl is going to listen to this one day.
Hey, baby girl.
No, don't address her. Don't tell her this.
Your parents will.
Stop. They waited until they got married. They saved themselves for marriage. I don't know about you, but I repented after we got married. I was a virgin when I was married.
So I did too. So we did have that situation. We did have sex before we got married. But before we got married, we both repented and we basically said we were going to wait. We had a waiting period even before we were still mm-hmm. dating. Got engaged. We said that we're not going to have sex. We're going to save some sex. And even though those times that we had sex before marriage, that started our journey. Our journey started when we started having sex.
Yeah.
And so we...
I just don't like to think about it. And it's not like it was like this terrible thing. Like, I've done stuff in my life that I wish I could go back and be like, oh, I never experienced that, or I never did these bad things, or whatever the case. But in this situation, I just, I guess maybe because I'm about to have a daughter, yeah. Like, I just sit and I'm like, there's a lot of things I wish I could take back.
Sure.
And I still feel like God, rewarded us for the fact that we repented and we stopped and decided that we were going to abstain from sex sure. mm-hmm. before we got married. So I'm very thankful that we repented. I'm thankful that we had the knowledge and the wisdom to do that. And I'm thankful that we waited until we got married.
Right.
You know, after we repented. Mm-hmm. I'm very thankful for that.
Right.
I'll just say that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So even when we were dating, I know like my mindset was we're going to get married. We're engaged. We're going to get married. We're going to have kids. We're going to start a life. Like,
yeah.
And we didn't know where that was going to be. We were like, cause I was just graduating college and it was like, I don't know where I can get a job and that's where I'm going to live. And that's where we're going to start our relationship as a married couple. And so I just automatically thought like, you get married, you're going to have kids, you're going to grow a family and do all the, you know, travel sports and do all the school plays. And mm-hmm. that, you just have those thoughts.
Yeah.
And I remember like shortly after we got married and we moved into the apartment, we had the conversation. It was like, hey, just to be clear, because we've already had the discussion before.
Yeah.
But just to be clear, like, we're okay to have kids. And I was like, sure. Like, yeah. You asked me that. I'm like, so great. Absolutely. Yeah. I've already pictured kids in the family or in the picture when I think about us in yeah. our in long term. I always thought kids. I said, yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And then like a little bit goes happen because you're first married and we were back to having sex again officially, like like it was on,
it so was going down.
It's about to go down. And it was like, oh, you know, that's okay, like even though we're not getting pregnant, even though, you know, like our lives were coming together, so many other things was going on and happening where I didn't think about it consciously.
Oh my God, time. I did I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, because we moved into this apartment. We just moved. I quit my job, and I moved 3 hours away and from our hometown, and I wasn't working, and you were working, and I was just being a housewife, taking care of the house. And I remember, like, cooking and going to the grocery store and cleaning up every day and, like, whatever else, and my life focused around that. My life focused around being at home. So I didn't have responsibility like I did prior to us getting married.
Right.
And so we get married, I quit my job, moved 3 hours away, and now it's like, okay, now what? And besides cooking and cleaning and staying at home all day, there was nothing else. There was no, hey, what do you want to, well, you did, you actually specifically set me down and said, what do you want to do with your life? Like, what are you, like, what are your goals? Like, what is it that you want to be? And, you know, we started looking into some of that stuff. But aside from that, I was just like, I'm here. Like, what else? What's the focus? And then about a month after we got married, we had the kid conversation and decided that we were going to stop using protection. And, what a joy that was. And we decided that we were not going to use any protection. So we stopped using protection. And after, what was it, probably like a year, then we realized, like, oh, nothing is happening. But that is when we went to the doctor. That's when it was, like, significant enough to be like, something's wrong, let's go to the doctor. But prior to that, a month after we said, hey, let's start having kids, and nothing started to happen, I constantly thought about it. I'm like, ooh, I bet I'm pregnant this time. I remember being in that apartment and sitting in the floor and been like, oh my gosh, my boobs hurt so bad one time. And I was just like, I'm so pregnant right now. I just know it. I just know I'm so pregnant. And I started my period shortly after. So yeah, it was constantly something that was on my mind always, because I didn't have anything else. I wasn't going into work. I wasn't, you know, I didn't have a ton of friends where we lived. I had one friend, and she eventually, like, left. So it was just me there. And so, yeah, I constantly thought about it all the time.
I think that's another, like, realization or parallel where the real story, nobody really understands or hears that part of it. And, like, it's a real conversation piece to say, I thought about this so often and it was on my mind heavy to where it should get attention.
Well, we had just gotten married and I don't think we had the communication skills that we obviously have now.
I'm not talking about in between us. I'm talking about just in general. Like, it's
and social media wasn't big enough for me to come out and be like, hey, is anybody else struggling with infertility? Or, you know what I mean?
It's really, it's important to just have that skill communication in a way where you're not looking for the problem to be solved or an answer. It's just more of like, hey, let's just talk about this. And, like, I didn't know even until at that time, like, how important it was and like how you thought about it as often as you did. Without us talking about it.
Because, like, again, we didn't know to communicate in that way. So about a year after we decided to try to have kids, nothing was happening and we had already moved back to our hometown. I had started working again and we were like, what is happening? So we went to a OB, my OB, and she was very, very quick. I'm talking, she comes in the room, she does a job, she gets out, that's it. And I remember being like, I have so many questions. This is the first time I'd ever been to an OB. And I go in and I'm talking to her and I'm like, hey, like, okay, so what is happening? We've been trying to have kids. She does the pap smear. She does a, I don't remember. I think she, I want to say she did an internal ultrasound, but I can't remember. And then she comes back and she says, looks like you have PCOS, going to send you to a specialist. And I said, wait, what is that? She's like, it's polycystic ovarian syndrome. And I'm going to send you to somebody who deals with this every single day. And I said, okay. And she was like, all right, we'll get you squared away. You know, the nurse is going to come in and And I remember being like, I don't know what any of that means. Like, she literally spent 2 minutes with me and that was it. And so the nurse came in and I said, I have a lot of questions because we've been trying to get pregnant for a year. I don't understand what's going on. So she took me to the doctor's office and I went into her office and I sat down and I said, I don't understand what is happening. Like, the appointment went way too fast. I don't understand what's happening. And she said, Basically, you have, she said, I believe you have PCOS. Mm-hmm. And she was like, especially with, you know, all the symptoms that I had, irregular periods, like painful periods, just a bunch of different symptoms. And she was like, you have cysts on your ovaries and it's hard for people that have PCOS to get pregnant and blah, 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 and all this other stuff. And I said, okay. And she's like, I'm going to send you to a specialist. And what we're going to do is we're going to bill it under insurance as going to see a PCOS specialist, but he's actually a fertility doctor and he's going to help you get pregnant. Hmm. And I'm like, okay, but I still don't know anything about PCOS. So I had to do like a ton of research and still didn't have any answers.
Yeah. You did the research on your own. I remember you sitting like, you know, on the computer that we did have at the time, the desktop. And like, I remember you researching and telling me about it and, you know, like, explaining to me like, oh, this is what this means and this is what it does. Like, we can spend so many hours on the healthcare system and how it's not favorable for people of color, and you have to do a lot of ownership and research on your own.
Yeah.
And
that's why I think you should, if you're going to the doctor, if you're going to an OB or just even a regular doctor and you don't agree with them, go see somebody else. Absolutely. It's fine for you to find another doctor. And I know it seems like, oh my gosh, that's so much work and whatever else. It's not. Mm-hmm. You find another doctor, you look at the reviews. If the reviews look good, you go and call and see if you can get an appointment.
Yeah. Another, like what we've come to find out is in special appointments like this and even like type 1 diabetes appointments for myself, we always go together. Mm-hmm. So it kind of like, it's not you against the doctor. It's like you as a team going into this with a plan.
Yeah.
And so you can kind of feel like if it's going, you know, one way or the other, like you can kind of slow it down a bit.
Yeah.
And not feel like overwhelmed because you're in there by yourself.
And it can still feel sideways. Sure. Because when we went to the specialist, we go in there and this guy is bragging. He brags the whole time. And mind you, I had never had a male doctor before. Mm-hmm. And he is doing an internal ultrasound to see what my ovaries look like and see the cyst on the ovaries and all the things. Sure. He's in there shifting gears and I'm just like, this is so uncomfortable. I was already uncomfortable because it was a guy and I'd never seen a guy before.
Yeah.
And then he takes us in his office and he's like, yeah, my success rate is this and my success rate is that, and we're gonna test you too, Chris, and we're going to see what your sperm count is. And, you know, sometimes it's this, sometimes it's that, but my success rate is this and blah, blah, blah. And he only talked about success rate. Like, he really highlighted it so hard.
Yeah.
And then he's like, we're going to put you on this medication. And I'm still like, well, what do we do about this PCOS thing?
Yeah.
Like, how do we like fix that if you're just going to give me medication that's going to get me pregnant? And so he gives me the bare minimum of instructions, gives me some pills and sends me home.
And that, I feel like that's something too, is like, they said you had PCOS. Mm-hmm. And like, not every doctor is versed on PCOS. You would think it's very common, and what you see on the internet, yeah, it's like, this happens in women, and like, this is not at like a unicorn situation. Like, right, this is happening. And you go to the doctor, the specialist, and he's like, oh, you know, we'll just do this. And it's like, how do you know if that's even the right thing or the wrong thing?
Right.
And he wasn't very versed on PCOS, and you would think with him being a doctor in this field,
he and would, calling him a specialist, yeah, in PCOS,
he would, in a way where he could help you, just like we've gotten help in other cases with PCOS with other doctors.
Yeah.
And that amazed me too. It's like, you would just imagine you bring the doctor this problem to say, hey, I have this, I was diagnosed with this. And they sometimes aren't caught up with the new world of technology and how the world has advanced and everything, where they have no clue what you're talking about or the best level of treatment, because they just don't know.
Right.
Especially in the small town that we were living in at the time.
Yeah. And he like, didn't care about anything but his results.
Right.
So he sends us home with these pills and he's like, hey, go take this and you're going to take this on X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, okay. And so we go home, I take the pills, and then it's like maybe a week or two later and I start my period and I am devastated.
Sure.
Because no one told me that when you are taking fertility medication that your chances increase the more rounds you do.
Right.
But your first, I mean, you can still get pregnant on your first round, but it's less likely on the first round than it is the second or the third. Mm-hmm. Because they increase the dose. Yep. And all the things. And so no one told me that, and I was devastated. I'm like, I don't want to go back.
Yeah.
Because I've not had a good experience with any of these doctors. I don't want to go back.
Yeah.
And so we just decided from that point on that we were just going to live our lives.
Yep.
If God wants us to have children, he can make it happen, which is 1,000% true. I mean, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then we were just like, we're just going to live our lives. We're going to continue to just live.
And to give context to where we're at, we were both working. And at this time, we made the decision you were going to start your own business. Like you were going to stop working outside the home and work inside the home and start building this business.
Yeah, this was many years later. So we started out this fertility journey when we first got married in 2011. At mm-hmm. this point, it was 2013, mm-hmm. 12. So about
a year and a half of like trying to figure out this thing out. And then it wasn't working. And then it was like, okay, if kids aren't in the picture at this very moment in time, you're going to quit. You're going to start your own business and try to grow that. And I was going to like go harder.
Yeah.
And we talked about moving at the time mm-hmm. and like looking at opportunities to move out of the town that we were living in and get new jobs. And you were going to build this business.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time that was where our mindset was. Like we were on the same page. We were saying, hey,
we was hustling.
We would love to have kids, but kids aren't in the picture and we're going to focus on building a business and building
focus
a brand
on that mouse.
And start shifting. So at one time you were working 2.5 jobs
mm-hmm.
and I was working 3 jobs.
Yep.
And of course, that didn't allow time for kids because that wasn't our focus.
Right.
And so we were building towards, you know, building up our savings and looking to move and looking to just get out of the situation. And so that we didn't talk about kids for a while. Like it was just like, hey, we're going to do this. And as much time as we spend together now, like, could you imagine how our life was back then?
No.
Like we barely saw each other at night.
Yeah.
Before we went to bed, we woke up at the same time to go to work. And we went to work. We separated. We text all the time. We called each other on the phone, but we didn't see each other hardly often because I went to work mm-hmm. On a couple days of the week. I went to the second job, and then a couple other days a week, I went to my third job.
Mm-hmm.
And then oftentimes my third job allowed me to work on Saturday.
Yeah.
So
it was. And then like, on the weekends when you weren't working, you were helping me with my business.
Yep.
And when I wasn't working my main job, I was working overtime at my main job
mm-hmm.
and working on the business at night.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was chaotic. And we just decided that we were going to hustle. If we're not going to do this kid thing, we're just going to hustle.
And that's kind of where we was like, okay, like God, like this isn't happening. We're not going to waste time on this right now.
Yeah.
And when I say waste time, it's like, we're not going to tailspin ourselves and drive ourselves crazy with anxiety to figure this thing out.
Because
mm-hmm. we were like, if God's saying not right now, then it's not right now.
Right.
Man, you're saying right now, that means you're saying no. But it was the thing was like, okay, what we're going to focus on now that, you know, we're not going to be parents right now. And so we shortly moved after that.
Yeah.
And we were like, we got an opportunity to move to Virginia Beach. And it was like, hey, this is another opportunity to start over. Hit the reset button and start over. A new job, basically a new town, a new city,
new space.
Everything was super brand new. And it was like, okay, God, you moved us from one situation to the next. What do you have in this season? I remember we talked about it. Like everything was super new because we've never lived in this part of the state before.
Mm-hmm.
We visited before because we had family there, but we never lived here. So we like have to find out our favorite restaurants and our doctors and everything was super new.
Everything and at this point, it was like, hey, like, let's buy a house. And if we're going to buy a house, then we need a lot of space because we're going to have kids.
That was the thing is kids wasn't like priority number one or two, but it was on the list still of top priorities. And we said, hey, we're going to buy a house. We need to make sure the house can suit our growing family because we're going to eventually have kids.
Yeah. Make sure that it can suit our desires.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And so it was all brand new. Still not thinking about kids because at the time, like my job was traveling a lot. Mm-hmm. We were looking to grow and develop. And so everything was super new, but we knew that kids was that cliffhanger, like the next chapter and next phase in our life.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's wrap this up and then we'll finish this in part two.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
You can follow us on Instagram at @MarriageNoCap for inspiration to hold you over to the next episode.
Feel free to anonymously submit your questions.
Email us at @MarriageNoCap@gmail.com.
Until next time, guys.
Peace easy.
Oh my God, turn the mic off.